Almost anyone who's been in Chicago more than 30 seconds knows about Irv Kupcinet, and most people from out of Chicago know of Irv Kupcinet, the author of Kup's Column, a nationally syndicated columnist, a man who's been feeling the pulse of our town for a great many years. I wonder, though, Irv, how many people know about the old, or remember about the old Harvest Moon festivals of the Chicago Sun-Times?
I'm afraid not too many, Chuck. It's another era. Times have changed, you know, and this one great glamorous event has gone by the boards. It just ran its course.
When did the... It was the Times at first, wasn't
Chicago
it?
Chicago Times started this, yes, way back in 1945 or 46. It ran about 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And the paper just decided that we had devoted so much time and energy and space to it, and the feeling was that it had just outlived itself.
What was the Harvest Moon Festival?
The Harvest Moon Festival was primarily a dance contest in which we had all the prevalent dancers of the, I mean, dancers of the day, competition in each event. The jitterbug was a big thing in those days. Went all the way from the jitterbug to the waltz and foxtrot and all the other dances in between. We had seven or eight dance contests. We had preliminaries throughout the whole city. And then the finals were held in the Chicago Stadium with many stars from Hollywood coming in to brighten up the evening. And we had the top names. One year we had a couple of young singers named Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, and one other great singer of the day whose name escapes me at the moment, but the three top singers of the day, including Perry Como and Frank Sinatra, headlined the bill.
All on one
program.
Yes,
sir. Frank Sinatra, Perry Como, and my memory slips, and I can't remember the third name. But Frank played it twice. Bob Hope played it two or three times. We had so many great names there to join the festivities and to give the crowd of 20,000 or so more people a real thrill.
It really packed the stadium, and it was a major event for Chicago.
It was. It was.
November of every year, wasn't it?
It was in November, in time for the Harvest Moon Festival song. And then we took the winners as a reward. The winners would go into one of the Loop movie houses, which had stage shows in those days. And we'd alternate between the Oriental Theater and the Chicago Theater and play a week on the stage.
Did they go on, any of the contestants of the winners of the Harvest Moon Festival go on to anything greater than the stage of the Chicago Oriental?
Some as performers have continued, none achieved great stardom, but a number have continued dance studios. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of Harvest Moon Festival winners who have dance studios in the Chicago area and doing very well.
You also had vocalists involved in
this,
too.
Yes, we had singers, too, and they were all very, very good. A couple of them got some Broadway shows, but as I said before, none achieved the great stardom.
It was a tremendous promotional event for the Times and then finally the Sun-Times.
That it was, and we filled the stadium, as you said, every year with more than 20,000 people, and it was just a wonderful evening. I'm very, very saddened that it just pooped out.
You were associated with it from the beginning,
right? From the very
you?
Beginning, yes.
Was it a Kup's Column idea?
No, it was a promotion department idea, actually. We started about the same time that the New York Daily News started. They called theirs the Harvest Moon Ball. We called ours the Harvest Moon Festival. And both were based on about the same idea, big name stars brightening up a dance contest and a dance and singing contest, really.
It really was had a tremendous impact on the town. I remember as a youngster going to any number of those in the middle 40s.
I remember as a youngster going to.
You too. And I remember seeing Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis there.
Oh, yes.
And,
it
was more than a single night, though, and more than just the promotional effect in the newspaper. It was, as I said, a major event for the city.
It was a major event because it ran over a period of time. We had all these preliminary contests to determine the finalists who then competed before a board of judges on the final night in the Chicago Stadium where we picked the winners. And the dancing was just superb. I mean, the young kids of that day were... excellent dancers, and they danced together in those days. Would you believe that? They held each other in their arms.
Those were the days.
Except for the jitterbuggers. Yeah. They were different.
But they were the wild ones. They really brought down the house, the jitterbugs. Mm-hmm. Now, the vocalists, the finalists or semifinalists were often heard on radio, too, because some of the, I believe it was WMAQ, carried a series of preliminary broadcasts. Yeah. And then finally, on the night of the Harvest Moon Festival itself, there was a broadcast of a large segment of the show.
That's right.
And you were there as MC, and it was really a big event.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of involvement with Chicago, representing Chicago nationally and internationally over the years. When was the first Cups column? When was your
that
first
started
column?
January 18th, 1943. I happen to have that date enshrined in my memory. January 18th, 1943, and this is 77, so that makes it almost 34 years old.
Long time to have a good beat like Chicago. You've gotten involved in many radio and television things over the years, too. Wasn't there a Cups column of the air, a radio series?
There was, on radio and also on television, before we started the At Random show, which eventually became Cups show, which is today plays on Channel 11 every Saturday night at 10:30.
The radio broadcasts were also syndicated. Mm-hmm. Didn't they? Weren't they heard around the country?
Yes, around the Middle West.
And weren't you part of a group of well-known columnists from major cities on a forerunner of the Tonight Show?
Yes. We had a very interesting concept in those days, which was beautiful in its theory, but it didn't work out so well in execution. It was called America After Dark. Mm-hmm. And we had three columnists, one in New York, one in Chicago, and one in L.A., and then we added a fourth in San Francisco. And each night the show would originate from one of those cities, or it would originate in two or three of those cities each night. And it was a very, very beautifully thought-out program, but the execution didn't develop too well. And so consequently the show finally died. But can you imagine each night starting a show in New York, then going to Chicago for its nightlife or some special stunt, then going to L.A. or San Francisco? And as I said, the execution was bad, but the idea was beautiful.
It was based somewhat on the old Stork Club show, wasn't it? That Sherman Billingsley had a show
Stork
on
Club
television?
Was strictly
or did that follow that?
That was strictly an interview show in the Stork
strictly
Club.
Strictly interview.
Yeah. No, this was different. This was picking up the outstanding event in the town that night. It could be part of show business. It could be something in the way of news. But it was something originating in that town live.
I see.
That night.
Was it on 5 nights a week?
5 nights a week, yes.
That kept you pretty busy at that point.
Yes, that was very busy. Of course, it didn't always come to Chicago. 3 or 4 nights a week it came to Chicago. We might skip a night if there's nothing special going on. But the idea was very exciting. Even today, I think it would be an exciting idea if we could put it together.
That was absolutely live, too,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Live in different cities every night, coming from three major cities and adding San Francisco on occasion.
No chance for any retakes or
no, I don't think so. I think the expenses today of originating a show like that would be prohibitive.
Yeah. You mentioned the appearance of, to get back to the Harvest Moon Festival for a moment, the appearance of Perry Como and Frank Sinatra on the same bill at one of those unbelievable occasions. Can you recall any other particularly dynamic Harvest Moon Festival in those 20-some years that it was on?
I thought every year was a exceptionally exciting one. We had all the glamour girls of that period, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Ann Miller with her great dancing skill came on and performed for us 1 year. I can't think of all the stars offhand. We had the Milton Berles and the Joey Bishops and the Buddy Hacketts and all the great comedians performed for us. You name the stars, and we had them in that course of that 20-year period.
Before the Harvest Moon Festival ended, that was about the only place that you could go outside of, let's say, the Chez Paris in Chicago, I think, possibly the Empire Room, to see a major show business personality. They weren't known as superstars in those days, but they were indeed superstars. And that was really the only place where you could see where the mass
The general public could go to see something. We did have the Chez Paris in existence,
of
course, in those days, where it featured big names in the Empire Room and some of the other great rooms of those days. But for the mass public at a very reasonable price, this was the only place.
What was the ticket cost, then? Can you recall?
I don't recall the cost, but it was very nominal. We
it
were
wasn't
not in
much.
It to make money.
If I went, it couldn't have been much.
We were not in this to make money. We're just there as a public service, more or less.
Yeah, it was really, really a show. Of course, then when after it went away, then things like the Mill Run turned up, and we had all of those.
This was the forerunner
things.
For places like that, which are now called concert halls, where they have big stars playing in music halls.
Right, right. We're in Cup's office, and he's a busy man, and we want to take a moment to say thank you very much for not only your participation in the Harvest Moon Festival, but for Cup's column and for a few minutes today.
Fine. My pleasure, Chuck, to be conversing with you.
Thank you.